Welcome to the Oldie Literary Lunch, sponsored by Noble Caledonia, the world experts in small ship cruising.
We move to our third speaker. Our author's subject now is royalty. One symbol in particular, Her Majesty. My loyalty is still with the royals, though I am no royalist. They fascinate me as people, how they exist, so constant, ever with us. They have travelled far, except when the Duke of Edinburgh is driving the car. I was at the royal wedding, and I have to say that Wallace Simpson looked incredible that day. Enough. I now cease my random rhyming ramble. Welcome to our author. Welcome, Lady Colin Campbell.
Thank you very much. I will not be witty. I can't be witty before 6 o'clock in the evening. And I certainly can't be witty standing up. So I'll be quite serious and just say, the Queen's marriage, everybody has an opinion on what the Queen's marriage is. Most people have no idea what the Queen's marriage really was all about. And it is actually a very fascinating subject. When I was asked to write the book, I thought how to go about it. And the truth is, you can't really write a book about the Queen and Prince Philip without going into their antecedents. They have a lot of common ancestors, some of whom were very eccentric and some of whom were not. And if you trace back where they came from, it makes what they are nowadays very intelligible. Now, the Queen is a wonderful woman, but rarely a very ordinary woman. Prince Philip is an extraordinary human being. He is extremely intelligent. She's witty, she's got a great sense of humor and all the rest of it. But without him, I suspect she would have had a far more ordinary reign. She'd have still been a wonderful monarch. She was very well trained by her grandmother, Queen Mary, and to an extent by her father, but she would have been quite ordinary. He is truly an extraordinary man. He's a great visionary, he's extremely intelligent, he was very well educated. His family is extraordinary. I mean, the Greco-Danish royal family, they just rattle with characters. For instance, his aunt, Princess George of Greece, was one of the great psychoanalysts taught by Freud, and actually is the person who got Freud out of Austria in 1938. So you have somebody who's very open-minded, who ends up, she fell in love with him. He did not fall in love with her. She fell in love with him, and she gradually, softly, softly, catchy monkey, and she caught a very big monkey. It has to be said, against the wishes of her mother, I know most people have the idea that Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mother, was revered in royal circles the way she was in press circles. Well, that's not actually true. She did not come from a royal family at a time when it counted. And she was roundly mocked by many of the foreign royals and some of our royals. And she, being aware of this, did not want either of her daughters to marry princes. Well, Lilibet, of course, ended up marrying him. She fell in love with him and she wanted to marry him. And against great opposition from her mother, who pulled every trick in the book with her brother David and various of the courtiers to try to deflect her away from her chosen path, she ended up marrying him. This was the start of the traducing of Prince Philip's reputation. Prince Philip, I would respectfully submit, is one of the most denigrated public figures of the 20th century. He has very seldom been given credit where it was due. he's now been acknowledged as the father of one of the fathers of the ecological movement, etc. But when she succeeded to the throne, the courtiers and her mother went to great lengths, and Sir Winston Churchill to an extent, to negate Prince Philip's influence over the Queen, because they rather ill-advisedly thought that Lord Mountbatten had a lot of influence over Prince Philip. In fact, he had none. Prince Philip had very mixed feelings about Lord Mountbatten. He'd had a great deal of, with Lord Mountbatten's elder brother, the Marquis of Milford Haven, he'd been very close to him, but he was not really close to Dickie Mountbatten until later in the game. They didn't understand this. The Queen actually liked Mountbatten, but Mountbatten was a notorious pinko. And Prince Philip had what was then called socialist tendencies. Nowadays, we'd say he was simply an enlightened human being. But this was a very great threat to some of the courtiers and to Sir Winston Churchill. And they did everything. Within a month of the Queen's accession, they had orchestrated a crisis over the name of the dynasty. This was but the first of many crises that they orchestrated within the royal family to cause problems between the Queen and Prince Philip. And to an extent, they succeeded. But I go in the book to how both Philip and Lilibet coped. And they're both very wily politicians, I've got to tell you. They could teach our lot nowadays a thing or two in getting from A to C without rocking the boat at B. And they succeeded. It took them about 8 years. But by then the damage to his reputation had been done. But another part of why Prince Philip's reputation was damaged was he is a real man. And I tell you, he's a real man in a country that, no insult intended, was not known for men have been very masculine. American men are masculine. German men are masculine. English men were, in those days, not masculine, especially if they were gentlemen. It was unseemly to lead with your hormones. And so, you know, many a foreign girl, myself included, would arrive in England and try to figure out who was gay and who was straight. It's absolutely true. Because you really didn't know. And in fact, some of the most rampant straights were really very effete. And you know, they could have taught many a woman a lesson in femininity. But he was so rampantly masculine, and he is, to anybody who's ever met him, you'd be able to know exactly what I mean. He's 97, so maybe I'm speaking about 20, 30, 40 years ago. He just oozed pheromones. And people could not believe that somebody who was so robustly masculine, and I have to say, he's the most masculine man I've ever met, except for Sean Connery, when Sean Connery was young. Now that should tell you something. They could not believe that anybody who was so masculine could actually have a zip that stayed up. And there was the belief before he got married, the courtiers were saying, she can't marry him, he's a penniless Greek. He has no money, he doesn't know how to behave, because he was too forthright and masculine. And also, he's not going to be faithful. Well, of course, we've all, I'm sure, heard over the decades all sorts of stories about Prince Philip. And I go into them in great depth in the book to show, and some of the people I know, some of them, I know people who know them very well. And so it's a fascinating, he is a fascinating subject. Her marriage has been, she says it herself, she's had a very good marriage. So I don't think we should be arguing with her about that. But I try to show why they've had a good marriage and why the marriage has worked and why there are all sorts of rumours about the marriage, many of which actually on close examination absolutely are well worth ignoring. Thank you so much and enjoy.
For more about the Oldie magazine and the lunches, go to theoldie.co.uk.